Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, hey, Chelsea fans, before we get into this one, it's going to be a little bit different. So just wanted to let you guys know that with the seventh season of the London is Blue podcast, we have joined a new hosting platform, ad agency friend called Blue Wire. We're thrilled to be joining them. And Dan, you can kind of walk our listeners through what to expect from a changes, because really it's not that big of a deal for them. It's more me and Jake on the back end.
Sure. I mean, most of you might not have even noticed that the change happened just bam, overnight. Maybe when the Brighton episodes disappeared for a minute, maybe you realized it then, but they're back up now. So feel free to go back to listen to those if you haven't heard them yet, or if you were looking for them. But Blue Wire to us represents an opportunity to continue to level up the content that we're doing this year in terms of guests or exclusive content. We're pretty excited about what this partnership with Blue Wire is going to allow us to do. There's also the benefit that it's a sports-centric podcasting network. So unlike other networks, this one is hyper-focused on bringing on quality sports podcasts from around the globe. They've got plenty of stuff with Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird. They've got a special podcast there. They've got our friends at the Always Cheating podcast, or a Fantasy Premier League podcast that Brandon might need to borrow for a little bit of support. I'm fine after game week one, but he might need their help, so he'll be reaching out to them. But we're really excited about that. And then also, I think the other thing too, Brandon, is just that, you know, we know podcast ads are a part of the scenario, right? And we just want to make sure that maybe they're a little bit more relevant or centric to our listeners. And we feel like Blue Wire is going to offer that versus the other platform we were just on, which will no longer be named.
Yeah, look, I think it'll be a lot more relevant starting day one. So we just want to say you're going to hear some new ads starting today. They're going to be different. It's not going to be the same two for a year. But don't worry. Look, we own the show. The show isn't changing structurally. Nothing's different. We're just on a new hosting platform. We have a new company that's helping us deliver better ads for you guys to help support our show financially, same as we were doing before. So again, we hope you enjoy it. We're very excited to partner with Blue Wire. There's a lot of future opportunities we'll get into with you guys later, but don't worry about it. Now let's get into the show. All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another one of our match previews on the London is Blue podcast. Special one. Obviously, we have Dan. I'm here midweek, which I'm never here midweek, which is exciting. But we've got Neil Jones from Goal.com. You are the Liverpool FC correspondent. You're just having a casual Friday, and then in rolls Thiago. So we're excited to be able to catch this as we preview the Liverpool-Chelsea match this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you wait all summer, don't you, for some transfer business at Liverpool, and then it all drops on you when you least expect it. But yeah, exciting times. I mean, obviously, as we're talking here, Liverpool have just confirmed the signing about an hour or so earlier. And what an exciting signing. And, you know, you guys know all about that. You've had a few yourselves this summer, and I'm sure you got pretty excited about them. Well, I can tell you that Liverpool fans are going out for their drinks this evening with a smile on their face. I'm pretty certain about that.
Oh, well, I can understand just if we were to be in their shoes. But Thiago, we don't need to get into it. Class player. As always, everyone's going to be worried about his injury concerns. But if he stays healthy, what an upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not easy, is it, to upgrade on a team that wins league titles and wins Champions League? I mean, again, you guys will know all about that. You know, I think you went back-to-back leagues and you tried to go with people like Shevchenko and Ballack. You know, that was the level of signing that you guys had to make to try and improve that team. And whether, you know, obviously some of them work out and some of them don't. But that's what Liverpool have had to do. They've had to target proven world-class players, serial winners. I mean, Thiago's won 9 league titles in his career. He's only 29. He's won 9 league titles. He's won the Champions League with 2 different clubs. You know, he's won the Club World Cup with 2 different clubs. Now he's joining the Premier League and going to try his hand at that. So it's a player with real pedigree coming into the league, coming into the club. And the sort of player that, like you say, if he stays healthy, I think he won't just be a real good upgrade. I think he'll be a real exciting player to watch as well. You know, someone who, you know, when you look at Liverpool's midfield, they don't get a lot of credit compared to, let's say, Kevin De Bruyne, people like that, even for their technical brilliance. But I think Thiago, if he can produce any of the form that he's been showing in Bayern Munich, certainly, you know, in his time there, I think he'll be a wonderful addition to this league and to this club.
Without a doubt. Look, the pull of the Premier League is important, which is why we love watching it every single weekend. But as we get into this one, we're going to take a look back at last season, discuss the changes that have occurred for Liverpool, for Chelsea, obviously, as we get into it. A little bit of a rivalry kind of happened last season. We got to see Liverpool maybe more than we wanted to, if I'm being honest. Obviously, I definitely want to talk about the Frank Klopp rivalry and talk it into existence, because that would just be exciting for all of us. But last season, Dan, run us through the different results. We played them, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And it was the opposite of us playing United last season.
Yeah, it was quite a run, right? We get a loss in the Super Cup on penalties, get 120 minutes, and then we lose on the penalty piece there. Tammy Abraham missing his, and kind of then the changes a little bit of the narrative at the start of our season. We'd lose 2-1 at the Bridge, a game that we were at. We actually end up winning in the FA Cup 2-0, but you can argue that maybe the lineup that Klopp sent out there was a little bit more favorable to Chelsea at that point in time. And then there was a end of the season drubbing, a 5-3 victory for Liverpool over Chelsea. And so ultimately, they shaded us, Brandon, in most of the matches last season, which was unfortunate.
Again, Champions League winners the season before, runaway title winners this season. So you always knew it was going to be tough, you know, coming up against Liverpool. So, Neil, obviously Liverpool didn't need the 6 points that they took off us as they coasted to the Premier League title. But I think we're starting to see a bit of friction, like I said, forming between Lampard and Klopp. I love it. No one in the stadium, so we got to hear exactly what Lampard had to say to Klopp and his response to it. How have you kind of seen this develop and grow? Obviously, it was Frank's first season. For whatever reason, he seems to be much more happy to spar with Klopp than I think any other manager in the league.
Yeah, possibly. I think you have to remember that Frank Lampard lived through the first installment of the Liverpool-Chelsea rivalry when he was a player. So he was part of the Mourinho side that was challenged by the Benitez Liverpool side. And really, for Frank, he's now on the other side of the fence, isn't he? You know, he's the guy who's looking over and seeing the team that wins the league and is, you know, the one that everyone's having to catch. And maybe people are starting to dislike because they're being successful, as in that's Liverpool. And he's the sort of pretender, you know, trying to knock them off their perch and throw stones at the crown and all that. So I think it's only natural, I think, that you'll get that sort of friction. I think it's interesting you say. I mean, the kickoff, if you like, at Anfield back in, what was it, July, when Liverpool got the Premier League trophy. And that probably happens every game, doesn't it? You know, or most games. Obviously, it's completely amplified by the fact that there's no one else in the stadium, and you get to hear, like we say, it was a lovely insight into what managers talk about, because it's so... You can imagine that being said at a Saturday league level, couldn't you? You know, in the morning, football or whatever. You know, there was nothing in there that was any technical or anything like that. It was just sheer, you know, animosity between two benches. I think Frank Lampard's done a good job, but I think also he appreciates that if he wants to instill a mentality into Chelsea that they are not just a lovely team that wins 4-3 and concedes a lot of goals and scores a lot of goals and brings some young players through and that kind of thing, he's got to impose some steel through them. And, you know, he had the best manager Chelsea have ever had at doing that in Jose Mourinho the first time round, and he created that mentality in Chelsea that they don't like you, people don't like you, you don't respect them, you don't bow down to Manchester United, you don't bow down to Liverpool, you don't, you know, take a backward step. That's what he's been brought up with at Chelsea, so it's no surprise, I don't think, that he's looking to lay down a few markers there. He's got Chelsea guys with him, you know, Joe DeMaris, a real Chelsea man on the sideline, and, you know, someone who's, I don't think, pretty shy of making his opinion felt either. Just Pep Linders. Jürgen Klopp's assistant is the same as well. He's quite abrasive on the sideline. So yeah, it's you know what? I'm not at Chelsea on Sunday. I'm not at Stamford Bridge. I used to love going to Stamford Bridge. And one of the reasons I love it is because the press box is right behind the dugouts. Mm-hmm. So you get to see them really close at hand. You really get to see them. And I think with no one in the stadium, it would have been really good to keep an eye on Lampard and Klopp on Sunday. But I'm going to have to rely on some of my colleagues to do that for me. I'm sure there'll be a few little flashpoints during the game, and I'll be certainly interested to see them.
Obviously, we're biased. We hope Naz is there. Obviously, all of you know on our podcast, Naz from Goal. Your counterpart, Neil. Dan, in your eyes, you know, because we'll get to the actual people on the pitch in a little bit, but Neil's right. I mean, Lampard even talked about it in his press conference because obviously he was asked about it, you know, and I think to me, Klopp is just the one in the seat for Lampard to chat with, right? Like he is drawing back on those battles that, you know, we had with Liverpool, and he even made his little dig, not really fighting for the league, but we had some good battles in the Champions League.
Well, I mean, it's fun. It's the type of pageantry that only the Premier League can get away with. And you want these type of personalities, you want these type of clashes. You want your manager to feel the pain and anguish of a loss just as much as the players do. And so as much as it is, I think, blown up or maybe kind of blown out of proportion, I think at the end of the day, they can shake hands and have a conversation, and it's not going to be ill after a match in the way that maybe Mourinho would let others kind of walk away and never have a conversation again. I think this one is, it's just going to be one to watch over the way that this goes this season. And I think it will change depending upon the results. If, you know, we have to get a really good win against Liverpool in the league to start to cement this, because right now it's still edging in Liverpool's favor pretty handily.
I thought, sorry, just to butt in there, Brandon, and you said at the top there that Liverpool didn't need those 6 points off Chelsea last season to win the league, but I would argue that they really did need that win at Stamford Bridge early in the season to really show them that they were a serious team. That, you know, that was, I know from speaking to some of the players, that was a big stopping off point on the road to the title. I mean, they went away, they were hanging on at the end, sort of last 20 minutes after Kante had scored, and, you know, I think Mount had a good chance late on to equalise. You know, they went away from that game thinking, wow, that was a big 3 points. That, you know, even early in the season, I think Manchester City on the Saturday had put 8 past Watford on the Saturday. So Liverpool went into that game 2 points clear of City, and they went away to Chelsea and won, and they didn't look back after that. So, you know, the same applies tomorrow, doesn't it? Whoever gets the win, it may well be looked back on as, you know, okay, second game of the season or whatever, September. It may well be looked back on as a sizable and a significant victory.
Very, very fair, and also very true. It always usually comes down to who took the most points off of the other top six teams, which top four apparently is dead. It's now a top six, bubbling to top eight, depending on what teams like Wolves, Everton, and Leicester pull together. But hey, we're going to take a really...
We're letting Arsenal stay in that top six, are we? Are they still allowed to be part of it?
They definitely have to knock at least now, you know, and
definitely.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. New sponsors from the new ad platform. Hope you enjoy them. We'll be right back to talk about the actual players.
Sundays are coming back in the NFL. That's right, the other type of football. With NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, with the Red Zone channel and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channel, you never miss your favorite team or your favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use that promo code BLUEWIRE, BLUEWIRE, at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. So visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv today and use the promo code BLUEWIRE.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. All right, so Liverpool have done a little business. You know, Chelsea are kind of hanging the Timo Werner thing over them, saying, look, you didn't have enough money to buy him. He came to us. That doesn't mean Liverpool haven't done anything. Obviously, Thiago Alcantara just coming. It looks like an amazing deal financially as well. Then Konstantinos Tsimikas from Olympiakos. But it's kind of more about like the people who have left to me, Neil. Like Klopp saying, hey, you have to be a certain standard. You have to be a certain type of player to fit in this mold. And I know he's kind of been cleaning out for a few years, but we've seen Dejan Lovren leave, Adam Lallana, Nathaniel Klein, kind of some of the bigger names we probably know about. How have you kind of seen Liverpool's summer transfer window, which we know is not a summer or a real window? How's it been for them just overall?
Yeah, I think it's been quieter than, well, it's quieter than Chelsea, certainly, so far. You know, I think it was never, Liverpool aren't really, you know, they're the one summer really where they spent quite a bit of money. Or the one calendar year, if you like, with Van Dijk and Alisson, Fabinho, Keita. I think Shaqiri came in that summer. They're not really a splurge type club. They haven't been for a number of years. It's more been fine-tuning and, as you say, getting rid of some of the players who maybe have outlasted their shelf life or have just not been of the required level. And I think there's still a bit of work to do in that regard. I think there's still a few bits to be trimmed off the edge of the squad, really. And, you know, probably, you know, you've still got the likes of Karius there and Harry Wilson and Gruitch and Jadon Shaqiri potentially could be one of those now who's on the chopping block. What they've done is they've signed two players in areas that they needed to sign a player. They needed a backup left back for Robertson. You know, you guys will know that the difficulties of finding left backs, you know, over the last few years. Liverpool touched real lucky with Robertson, you know, 3 years ago, and now then suddenly the issue became, right, who's going to be his backup? And if you're struggling to find your first choice, then finding your backup's going to be even more difficult. They hope Tsimikas is that player, you know, quite Robertson-esque in the way that he plays, I believe, and, you know, decent pedigree in Europe and played a number of years for Olympiakos and a couple of loan spells. So we'll see what he brings. Thiago is obviously a grade A signing, you know, someone to improve the first 11 immediately, they hope. And then I think probably the next port of call will be, can they just get one more in as a forward option and just provide some cover across the line? You know, one who can play two positions, maybe someone with a bit of experience in the Premier League or of English football. Hopefully, I think that's what they'd ideally like to do. So I think there's probably one more to come, or one more bit of business to do, and a bit of trimming to go in terms of outgoings. I think there'll be a few. You know, I mean, there's a story today about Kiana Hoover, young defender who's going to go out for probably around £10 or £12 million. So if they can do a couple more sales of that ilk, it will certainly enable them to go and buy, I would say, one more player.
You know, one of the things that, you know, I mean, couldn't believe that Timo Werner actually joined up with Chelsea. I think I've really enjoyed watching him for Leipzig, and the fact that we were able to get him to come to Chelsea is amazing. How did you read, or how did you sense Liverpool's reaction to Werner maybe not waiting and choosing to go to Chelsea now versus potentially what looked like, for very long times, like a very much like telegraph, like, you know, feet under the table kind of Klopp and Werner's camp trying to make sure that they get something done in the future? It just seems like Chelsea really took advantage of the situation. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, 100%. I think timing, Jürgen Klopp talks a lot about timing with transfers and says, you know, sometimes it isn't the right time. Sometimes it is. You know, Liverpool said for many years they wouldn't spend sort of astronomical fees on players, and the time came when, do you know what, you want a centre back, you want Virgil van Dijk, you're going to have to pay that money. You want a goalkeeper, you want Alisson Becker, you're going to have to pay that money. Now with Werner, it was a bit different in the sense that they did want the player, obviously. They really, you know, and he would have been a perfect signing for Liverpool, clearly. you know, what I'm saying there about someone who can play across two positions, who scores goals, who's got pace, who's young enough, and that he ticks all the boxes. But the difference with someone like Werner compared to Fabinho, Van Dijk, Alisson, for example, Salah, Mane, previous to that, was Liverpool knew they were buying someone who was going to have to rotate and be part of a squad rather than being immediately in the team. And then at the time when the deal was being touted, the situation surrounding the finances of the football club, of the league, you know, where I don't even think the league had been finished at that point or even been restarted. So I think Liverpool's decision was, listen, we can't justify that outlay at that time for this player. They hoped, I think, that they would get a chance to sign him again, you know, whether it was in January, whether it was the following summer, whether it was even later in this window, whether, you know, we could have been talking now if Chelsea had not been involved. We could have been talking about Timo Werner to Liverpool now. But Chelsea saw an opportunity and worked hard, and I don't think there's any, you can't have any animosity towards that. You can't have any criticism of Chelsea. They saw an opportunity. They were able to sell the club to Timo Werner, where, like you say, all the noises we heard from him was that he looked like he was, you know, flashing his pants at Liverpool, really, wasn't he? You know, he was talking pretty publicly about playing for Liverpool. He wasn't making any secrets of the fact that he felt he could fit into a Klopp side. But Chelsea have been able to sell it to him. And, you know, as much as Liverpool fans would all have liked to have seen Werner, from a personal perspective, it's nice to see him in the league. I want to see how he gets on. I want to see the league as strong as possible. You know, I don't like seeing class players go elsewhere. I do like seeing class players come in. So Liverpool's loss could be Chelsea's game, but it'll be an interesting one Sunday. I'll be quite excited to see how he gets on. The two number 11s, Salah and Werner going head-to-head. It'd be quite nice.
Yeah, no shortage of pace in the game on Sunday, for sure.
Well, kind of, you know, obviously, you know, I think we've talked about Chelsea, obviously. Our side know all about it. But I, you know, I'm really interested, you know, so for the fans who missed Frank's presser, it's on the fifth stand up, the official Chelsea app. No Pulisic, no Chilwell, no Silva or Ziyech. Werner is fit. Thank gosh. I'm assuming Frank is going to line up 4-3-3 and try to go toe-to-toe with Liverpool. It's how we've seen us be most successful, especially just with the people he has available. I'm most interested about how we think Chelsea and Liverpool will match up on the pitch, not necessarily like tactically, but just like where are the moments or the opportunities of weakness. Obviously, Liverpool love to hit on the break, and it's devastating. But I think what's interesting is that last season, Chelsea were a lot more open tactically. And like, you know, we're seeing gaps between the midfield and the defense. We weren't really transitioning as a unit. I tell you what, that match against Brighton, we had less than 50% possession against them. We sat back a lot. So I'm interested to see if we're both going to sit back and counterattack, maybe who is going to try to take the possession edge and maybe control it a little bit more. I guess, you know, Neil, from your perspective, the Leeds match was wild, to say the least, for Liverpool. You know, the 4-3 penalties. I haven't watched it at this point. Like, do you feel like Liverpool are ready and kind of humming as far as, like, being able to keep, obviously, the attack going, but all the goals that were given up? Do you think that Chelsea are going to be able to try to get at them this early in the season?
Well, it's an interesting one because Leeds are pretty unique in the way that they set up. Obviously, they go completely man for man. So they press all over the pitch. So it doesn't matter if, you know, if Gini Wijnaldum, for example, wanders into the left-back position, then Leeds' holding midfielder, Calvin Phillips, was following him into the, you know, what would be for him a right-wing position. So I don't think Chelsea will be that extreme. But you would say that if Leeds can score three goals against Liverpool, Chelsea have greater quality than Leeds. So they have the ability to score goals against Liverpool, and you would think that one of the big messages for Liverpool is that they have to tighten up defensively. They have to cut out those mistakes. They made them against Chelsea, obviously, in that game, in the 5-3 game. You know, I think they were 4-1 up at one stage, were they? Or they were certainly a good way up, 3-0 maybe, and ended up, you know, 4-3 going into the last 5 minutes of the game. So they have shown that they do have a bit more of a brittle quality than what we saw at the start of last season. But The matchup, I mean, to talk about the matchup that I see being decisive, I think the two fullbacks of Chelsea against the two wide men of Liverpool, I think that's where the game is won and lost. And in particular, Alonso, if he plays at left back against Salah, who looked, well, razor sharp against Leeds. I know what Alonso really isn't a left back. He's a left wing back, isn't he? And that I think he did play that system last at Anfield last year. I think they did play the three centre backs. I wonder whether Lampard might consider doing that just to alleviate some of that threat in the wide areas and give an extra defensive body. But then if you do that, you are obviously then seeding ground somewhere else, whether it's in your front three or in your centre of midfield, where, you know, Jorginho, Kante and Kovacic, was it, against Brighton? It's pretty strong. It's pretty, you know, pretty impressive in terms of its quality. So I think, if you were asking me where I think that game would be won and lost, I would say whoever won that battle, Chelsea's left side against Liverpool's right, I think would be the one, because you've got Alexander-Arnold, obviously, and Salah up against whoever, and Alonso, whether it's, you know, Mount or Havertz or whoever plays out there, I think that will be the decisive battle.
Well, it'd be interesting because this past match, we got the Lamptey versus Reece James comparisons because, of course, we're talking about right backs who are eligible for the English national team. And now we're going to get that same conversation, I'm sure, across this match between Reece James and Trent Alexander-Arnold. You know, I think what might be interesting, and I don't know how you're feeling about this, Brandon, is I could also see a scenario where if we do play that back four, you get Reece James on the right. Obviously, he is going to be able to kind of keep up with the pace of Alexander-Arnold in a way that maybe like Azpilicueta can at this moment. But maybe you put Azpilicueta on the left, who is a much better one-on-one defender than someone like Alonso. He's played left back in some of our best seasons ever for Chelsea. I could see that as the way if we do want to go one-on-one on the wings and potentially try to dominate the midfield, where I think that, you know, if we were playing a side that had Thiago in it, I would be a little bit more concerned. But I think the midfield is actually the one area where we might be able to slice through a little bit and kind of make some of those quick transitions happen, especially if Havertz can level up just a little bit, because some of what we started to see in the last match with his passing and his ability to move the ball forward for Werner looked really, really exciting.
Obviously, Liverpool a lot more settled than Chelsea. We have a lot more changes. We have less players available. So I think I always give that the edge. But Chelsea tend to show up for the big matches of the season. We could be struggling, you know, getting pummeled by Southampton, then come back, you know, and beat Man City. Like, that's Chelsea in a nutshell in recent seasons. So that's what I at least can take hope from. But I think it's really interesting. I mean, if you want to talk about a starting lineup, I still have no idea. You know, based on the pieces that Frank has available to him, like, I don't know. I just saw a great video of Jorginho and Emerson doing a boxing workout. Not sure that helps Emerson get in contention for a left back spot. But it's just like, who do you go to in these types of situations? It's early. There's a lot to lose. Is Frank going to be conservative, or if he's just going to go for the jugular? To me, honestly, it's just wild to think of like where he's going to go.
Who do you think starts in goal? Do you think Kepa will get the nod in goal?
I do, just because he started the first one. I think that Frank's going to give him the role until he loses it again, like we saw last season.
Has he not lost it yet? I mean, do you think he could have done better with the goal, the Brighton goal?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He came out for a cross. Like, he missed it. He flapped at it. But, like, Willie's not great with crosses either. We're in a really tough situation.
Doing like, the base minimum expectation of a job is not something that should be credit worthy. Just to be fair, coming out to claim a cross, like, I get it, right? You know, it's not something he did last season. But I think to the point that Neil's making, my preferred lineup would have Willie in goal. I do believe, though, that if we're thinking about how do you potentially move away from Kepa in the future, how do you hope to potentially give him some confidence, I could see a scenario where man manager Frank Lampard is not going to try to erode his entire confidence before a new goalkeeper comes in and potentially lets him play in the sticks.
Yeah, he did make probably the best save I saw from a visiting goalkeeper or an opposing goalkeeper against Liverpool last season. I think it was in the Super Cup in Turkey. He made just this incredible save from, I think it was Mane, tipped it onto the crossbar. So maybe he saves his best for Liverpool.
We can hope. I mean, the other thing you think of is Liverpool potentially get in behind, right? He's way more like athletic than Willie. Like he can come off his line. We may not know where the ball's going once it gets to his foot, but at least like he's there to be in a better position. Like Willie's going to sit on his line. Like that's just what he does. He's 38. Like that's what he expects. Interesting as we kind of wrap this up, Neil, is like, who do you think the Liverpool player that's most dangerous that Chelsea should be worried about? Absolutely. Obviously, Mo Salah has the vengeance card that he's always got in his back pocket when he comes to Chelsea. Fair play to him. Like, I get why. But, if, you know, obviously you talked about the wingbacks. Who do you think, like, the number one threat for Liverpool is going in against Chelsea?
Yeah, well, it is Salah. He was the one who was head and shoulders above everyone else last week. You know, scored a hat-trick. I know two of them were penalties, but he was brilliant. Like, and I say this as someone who watches Salah a lot and defends Salah a lot against accusations that he's wasteful or that he doesn't do enough in the course of 90 minutes. He was, from the word go against Leeds, I know, okay, against Leeds, newly promoted team, and you know, not a household name that they were playing. He was playing against in terms of a left back, but he was right on it. And you know, if he can be half as good as he was last week, then he's got a chance of really influencing a game, even against a team like Chelsea. I think Liverpool would ask for more from Alexander Arnold supporting them as well, and I think he's had success. That he scored home and away against Chelsea last year with direct free kicks. I think if he was to up his game as well, then I think that right side for Chelsea would be a real, real problem, and one that they'd have to lock down somehow if they were gonna solve it. But yeah, watch out for Salah. I'm sure Sadio Mane will have something to say about that in the sense that he's not had the attention this week, but Salah from last week was for me it was the best performance I saw of the whole weekend from any team in the Premier, any player, sorry, in the Premier League.
One thing, just so with Alexander Arnold, it seemed like he was a little kind of maybe slower in kind of building back. He's coming back from an injury, correct?
Yeah, he did. Okay. He missed a bit of preseason. Yeah, didn't go on they went on a preseason training camp to Austria. He didn't go. I think he'd missed the Community Shield as well against Arsenal and returned for England in the international. So yeah, he's getting back up to speed, but you know, for him, it could literally be the same as last year, where it doesn't really matter how he plays as long as his delivery is spot on, and 9 times out of 10 with Trent it is.
Yeah, he's phenomenal with that. Okay, Dan, on the flip side, do you agree, Salah? Do you have someone else that you're more worried about?
No, Salah's the one I'm concerned about.
What about Milner? Give him some respect.
No, Hendo, no. It has to be Salah. I mean, he was in my fantasy Premier League, so that was a great boon last week. It was not one of the 20,000 plus people who triple captained him, which is just an absolute stupid stroke of luck. But yeah, it has to be Salah. There's no other danger man right now that you're going to point to in the Liverpool side and say there is dangerous. I think Mane is the sneaky one, because I think Salah actually, Mane has a little bit of a better away form sometimes than Salah does. And so that would be the one where you might be centered in on Salah, but sometimes if you focus on one thing, someone else on this amazing team is going to pop up and get their goal. And I think Mane, Neil, would be the other one who, you know, we're not talking about him a lot, but he knows when to pop up in big moments too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Salah, I mean, I don't think Salah scored at Stamford Bridge, I don't think, since he left Chelsea. I think the only goal he scored there as an opponent was with Basel, I think, a long while ago.
The irony we have not forgotten.
Yeah, maybe he's due one, maybe not. You know, but like you said, you're right, Dan, you know, Salah's home record is phenomenal. Mane's away record is phenomenal. It's just the way they are. They're two pretty special players.
Well, on the flip side, look, I think Timo Werner is going to be looking to justify his decision, you can say. He talked about it post-match, like, oh, we see you have ice on your knee. Every player has ice. Anyways, they're like, he's like, I'm good. You show up, you play football for these types of matches, you know, at Liverpool, at Stamford Bridge. So there is also this bit of a swell for Chelsea, right? It's a home opener at Stamford Bridge as well. And not only is it a home opener, it's a big, big match. So Hopefully getting to stay at the hotel just outside Stamford Bridge gives them a little bit of comforts at home. You've got the home dressing room, a little bit different. It's going to be exciting. I am genuinely excited for this matchup. And I think that a lot of neutrals would be looking to this one as well, just because of the styles, the managers. You've got the Timo Werner line, the Mo Salah line, on the flip side. I'm excited. So, you know, it's only game week two, Neil, but this is a big one. And I think obviously, you know, you guys are going to be excited to see what comes out of it. I think everyone's going to win no matter what happens this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. The only sad part is there'll be no fans inside the stadium. You know, I thought that last week with the Leeds game. You know, you watch that game, and as you say, it was madcap, wasn't it? You know, end to end. And you thought, wow, how good would it have been with a rampant Anfield atmosphere? I'll feel the same, I'm sure, at, you know, 4:30 on Sunday when kickoff comes, and you know, you're hearing the songs at Stamford Bridge, but you're not getting to hear the roar that accompanies the first blast of the whistle and all that. So just a shame, but yeah, not a bad Sunday to get your teeth into, I don't think.
All right. Well, final one, score prediction, so we can embarrass ourselves come Sunday afternoon. Dan, I would like to point out that I have wrote 2-2 draw first. Just like last week when you copied my 3-1 victory, which is right, you have decided to ride my coattails with a 2-2 draw as well. Any way you can defend yourself?
Well, I actually jumped on a US-based Liverpool podcast to preview this match, and that dropped earlier today.
Okay.
And it does have my 2-2 prediction in there as well. So unfortunate for you.
Whatever. All right. Moving on. Nick has phoned in his prediction. It's a 1-2 loss, which, to be fair, is very Nick Verlaney, if you know him. Neil is the kind of neutral, objective journalist in your stance. What are you thinking?
So you know what? I think it's one of those two, personally. I think it's either 2-2 or 2-1 to Liverpool. That's how I would view it. I would edge towards Liverpool winning it. Maybe just a little sort of boost with Thiago having signed, and just a little mood lift. Maybe, you know, you might see some of those midfielders who are under pressure now really puff their chest out and say, you're not going to leave me out for this guy. So I would go Liverpool just to sneak it maybe 2-1 like they did last season. I think it will be. I think both teams will score 100%. I can't see it. I can't see a clean sheet for either side in this game. So it is a question of that. And you know, I think if Liverpool do get the first goal, I think they'll fancy the chances of hanging on and getting the win. If Chelsea get it, then you know we'll see how the Reds respond. The one thing they didn't have last week was they weren't behind at any point in the game. So see how they respond if they are on Sunday. But I'm gonna give Liverpool a nod 2-1.
Awesome. Well, hey, really appreciate it, Neil, having you on. You've been fantastic. We're definitely going to want to kind of come back to you as the season goes on for all things Liverpool. But again, Chelsea fans, go follow Neil. Link in the description in the podcast. Again, part of the Goal Network. We love Naz. Co-workers, does a great job covering Liverpool. Dan, thank you for jumping in midday. Don't tell our bosses, Neil. We would appreciate that. Chelsea fans, you're the best. Big match this Sunday. Let us know predictions and lineups on social media. All those graphics will go out. But until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.